Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's fair to say that we hear a certain phrase more than ever. More often now than in times past. And that phrase is this. It is what it is. Have you heard it? Five simple words. It is what it is. For some people, the phrase is all about limitations and accepting of limitations, right? I just broke my arm. I'm learning to live with it. It is what it is. Or for some, it's about things that we just don't understand but accept. Like the Holy Trinity, right? How can God be one God and yet three persons? I don't know. It just is what it is. God had a better version, by the way, in the scriptures. What did he say? I am who I am. Five words. I think we've got to go with that. Jesus in our gospel today, when John the Baptist objected to being baptized, when he said, what? Me? Baptize you? I need to be baptized by you. So in response, Jesus said five words. He said, are you ready? It is what... No, he didn't say. He said, let it be so now. Let it be so now. To be honest, I like what Jesus said better than our currently overused phrase, it is what it is. Let it be so now. Jesus' words. What's the difference? Well, allow me to get technical for a minute. In grammar, it is what it is the indicative mood. All right, the indicative mood. That describes things as how they currently are. It's a very human thing to do. We can't change a lot of things. It is what it is. But let it be so now is imperative. It's a command or a request. Some examples, sit still. Please be quiet. Let there be light. That's how God spoke to us at creation, didn't he? Let there be light, and there was light. So when Jesus says, let it be so now, he sounded very godlike, as if he is one with the Creator himself. Let it be so now. But look at what he said. Let it be so now too. He was talking about a sinner's baptism for himself. If Jesus is God and he is perfect, what need is there for Jesus to be baptized? John understood this, and that's why he objected. He said, wait, Jesus, you've got it backwards. I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? And Jesus says, yes, or let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So what is so right? What is so righteous about Jesus being baptized as opposed to being the baptizer? It is right of Jesus, God's own Son, to get down into the water himself. Not to remove Jesus' sins, of which there are none, but to receive sins of all the other people that were baptized in those waters. Not to remove his own, but to receive all other sins. The same concept appears in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' identity, in addition to being God, was to be a man in order to be our substitute on Calvary's cross. God made him to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We might become The well-pleased child of God that we heard in the text. You are my beloved son. With you I am well-pleased. That only happens because we receive his innocence and he takes on our sin. A great exchange takes place in baptism. So baptism becomes increasingly important. Let it be so now, because there is in those baptismal waters something we receive. Jesus' righteousness, his innocence, his blessedness as a gift. He was innocent, he was perfect in God's sight. We were and are sinful, but it flip-flops in the water because God's word makes it so and declares it so. Imagine if God would have just looked down on us in our sin and said, it is what it is. But he didn't. He sent his son, Jesus, who meets us in baptism and gives us that gift of righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Not it is what it is, but let it be so for righteousness' sake. That results in heaven. But Christ's cross is the place where it's all meted out. By Christ's cross, he conquers sin and death for us. By Christ's resurrection, he opens to us the way of everlasting life. But he doesn't deliver it in your mailbox or in your TV or on your smartphone or make you earn it on the treadmill of life. He delivers it to you in water. And the waters the same way in which you were born, through water. But not water alone. The water needed a let it be from God, a powerful imperative word that delivers us righteousness. The only indicative words you want to hear from God is not, it is what it is, but because of my son. You are clean. You are holy. You are mine. My son gave me an imperative from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And soon after that, Jesus gave this indicative. It is finished. During Holy Week every year, in the Philippines, a few brave people, I think maybe they're crazy, but they try to replicate what went on Good Friday. In other words, three men in the Philippines, probably rotate this out throughout the afternoon, get up on a cross, and they actually have their hands and feet nailed with real nails into a cross, and they hang there for 3 hours. And by this, they think that they're becoming closer to God. In reality, I think they've got it backwards. If you want to get closer to God, you don't climb up a tree like Zacchaeus. Rather, you get down low on your knees and you remember your baptism. For that's where God truly came close to you. Like we heard in our epistle today, read earlier, great text. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, but by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. In fact, where else but in baptism do we experience Christ's cross and death so closely? Nowhere. There was a man who accidentally drove through a red light at one of those intersections with one of those cameras that takes a picture of you as you go through the red light. And to save paper, the government put the ticket right on the picture and sent it in the mail to this man's house. Well, this man had a bit of a sense of humor. So he laid out the $85 that he owed on the table, took a picture, and sent it back to the police. Well, the police also had a sense of humor, so they took out their handcuffs and put them on a table, took a picture, sent it back to the man. And the point is this, is that if Jesus caught you doing something wrong, which is easy to do, what if all he did was sent you a picture of you in the act? In fact, when you get to Judgment Day, there's a whole photo album of all the sins you've done. And that's it, just a photo album, and then it's up to you. It is what it is. What are you going to do about it? But what if God didn't just take pictures of your sins caught in the act, but sends not a picture, but a person to go himself to pay that fine, that penalty, personally? Not with a picture, but personally. That's what God does. He personally pays for your sins. He doesn't send you a picture so you can know that it's true, a picture of the cross or a picture of his baptism. He sent you the person of Jesus in your baptism so that you can know what it means to truly be free from every debt, stain, spot, all of it. So that when you get to heaven, the only words you will hear are not, "It is what it is," but, "You are my beloved son or daughter. With you, I am well pleased." Praise be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.